Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 30 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
I don't see how they can go alone on it. I hope they do, or at least get through the process. Maybe they can come up with a business plan.
The Rowan County Fiscal Court has bowed out of a proposed Laughlin project.
The city of Moorhead received a gray audit report last night.
Local fire officials say fire incidents are on the rise.
A Danville teen accused of murder pleaded guilty to lesser charges.
Kentucky's attorney general filed paperwork officially to run for governor.
In sports, Rowan County's basketball teams heads to Russell tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Patchy freezing drizzle after midnight tonight with a low around 31. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The proposed leasing of Moorhead State University's Laughlin Health Building to the city and county appears to no longer be in the works. The Moorhead City Council expressed interest in the matter during its regular monthly meeting on Monday night and planned on having a joint meeting with the county and Moorhead Tourism. However, the fiscal court motioned to table the issue indefinitely after expressing numerous financial concerns. Judge Executive Harry Clark says recreation is an issue that needs to be addressed, but Laughlin didn't seem to be the answer.
And this would have been a great fit, I think, if we would have been looking at something down the road with an actual business plan or something that we could have really went to the people. But right now, from our information that we got, it don't look like we could not even put any more money into it, and the other two entities could not put any more into it. And we could see by doing the math that it was already surpassed what we were going to allocate between the three individuals.
Clark adds the city and tourism can continue to explore options with Laughlin, but says he doesn't see any possibilities after hearing their financial woes.
An audit report during last night's Moorhead City Council meeting went over smoothly. The report yielded positive comments for the city's finances in fiscal year 2018. Councilman Tom Carew says the audit gives him confidence Moorhead will progress in the right direction.
The fact that we're managing all this money and that the auditors come in and tell us, you know, you're doing a good job in managing that money, there aren't any issues, you're in compliance with state and federal laws, regulations, and national standards for accounting. So I feel very good about that, and it gives me great confidence in our staff and leadership.
The audit has reported by Kelly Galloway Smith Goolsby of the Kentucky Public Service Commission.
Larry Fannin's Chevrolet dealership in Moorhead is changing hands this year. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story.
The business opened in 1948, and current owner Larry Fannin took over the business from his father in 1965. Larry Fannin announced his retirement via Facebook last week after more than half a century in the business. The business will be taken over by L. Martin and Theresa Johnson of Lexington. The Secretary of State's website shows the Johnsons' home office in Hazard and having investments in hotels and restaurants. Fannin says he will continue being active in the community and is grateful for the people he has met and worked with over the years. For WMKY News, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
State fire officials say the number of fire-related incidents increased drastically in the winter months. In response, local fire departments are urging citizens to establish precautionary measures to uphold safety. Moorhead Fire Chief Jeff Anderson says the most important thing a homeowner can do is install smoke detectors.
They are a proven factor that they are an early warning system that will assist you in escaping a fire and also notifying the fire department. So smoke detectors, probably number one priority that a resident can do.
Anderson says in the event of a fire, residents should try to isolate the fire and call 911.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company in Lexington and Mount Sterling and online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Recognizing the importance of preserving arts and culture, the Ruth Hunt Candy Company proudly supports the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts in Mount Sterling, showcasing a variety of music, theater, visual arts, and dance for the Gateway region. More information on events at the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts is online at grackentucky.com.
A Kentucky authority has released the name of a man killed in an eastern Kentucky mining accident. The Energy and Environment Cabinet said 56-year-old Jeffrey Sloan of Clinton, Tennessee, died after being struck by a shuttle car Monday morning at Tom's Fork Mine in Bell County. He died after being transported to Pineville Hospital. According to WIMT, the mine was licensed in November. Two inspections have occurred since then, and one resulted in a closure for roof control. The accident happened 600 feet underground. This is the first reported deadly mining accident in Kentucky in 2019. There was only one Kentucky mining death in 2018.
A Danville teenager accused of murdering her stepmother before fleeing with her boyfriend has pleaded guilty to lesser charges. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
17-year-old Jenna Oakley pled guilty to manslaughter and theft of a motor vehicle by unlawful taking. The total recommended sentence is 15 years. Oakley was 15 when she allegedly killed Rhonda Oakley in 2016. She went missing after her stepmother's death, but was found days later in New Mexico with her boyfriend, 20-year-old Kenneth Nye. Nye attempted to hang himself in prison and later died at a hospital. Oakley's formal sentencing will take place on February 22nd. I'm Haley Hansen.
A Lexington woman accused of driving drunk with her son in the car appeared in court yesterday. WKYT reports 48-year-old Sunita Yaram was arrested early Saturday morning. Authorities say she claimed she drove 150 miles per hour after drinking several beers. Her son told police he tried to escape but could not because the doors were locked. A judge granted the woman bail as she is a full-time nurse, under the condition she does not drive. She is due back in court on January 25th.
The Maysville Police Department is asking for the public's help in identifying a man seen using fake cash. According to a post of the department's Facebook page, the suspect allegedly passed a counterfeit $100 bill at Speedway at the intersection of U.S. 62 and Kentucky 9 in Maysville. A photo from a security camera at the business was posted on MPD's Facebook page along with a request for help. The incident took place on Saturday when the man used the bill and received change. He then returned to the business to buy beer with the change. The chief said the post had already generated several leads and tips, and officers are now trying to locate the suspect. Anyone with information should contact the Maysville Police Department at 606-564-9411.
An opioid epidemic is now booming in Kentucky. According to the National Safety Council, the odds of dying from an opioid overdose are now outweighing the odds of dying in a car crash. Manager of Statistics for the Council, Ken Kulosh, emphasizes the seriousness of the situation.
When the National Safety Council does public opinion poll research, we see only a little less than a quarter of people think that this is a significant issue to their family and their own health and well-being.
Kentucky currently ranks within the top 10 states, with nearly 1,000 reports in 2016, for the number of deaths related to opioid use.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear has officially filed to run for governor, calling on his Democratic opponents to release their tax returns ahead of the May 21st primary. Beshear released his 2017 tax returns last year. They showed he earned $118,000, paid more than $12,000 in taxes, and donated more than $2,000 to charity. His financial disclosure filed with the state shows he owns stock in U.S. Bank and Microsoft. Republican Governor Matt Bevin was elected in 2015 without releasing his tax returns. He has filed a financial disclosure with the state showing his interests in various businesses. Beshear is the second Democrat to file for governor, along with former state worker Jeff Young, State House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins, and former Auditor Adam Edelin. Both say they are running.
Kentucky's pension reform debate is set for another reboot today. With last year's reform struck down and another false start with December's special session, lawmakers are turning to a new public pension working group for answers. Senate President Robert Stivers says Republicans hope to craft some sort of pension legislation during this year's short 30-day session, but there are a lot of question marks.
Funding is a part of it. a new plan is a part of it. Things like that have to be taken in conjunction with each other. And every little thing hurts, every little thing helps, depending on how you're doing it to try to resolve the overall problem.
The working group is slated to hand over recommendations to the General Assembly on February 15th, but the group could request extensions.
Advocates are taking a stand following various reports of abuse of special needs students in Kentucky's public schools. WKYT reports advocacy groups such as the Autism Society of the Bluegrass and Autistics United Kentucky are pushing for legislation to protect students with special needs. Aislinn Cornett is with Autistics United Kentucky.
People need to stop seeing autism and other intellectual differences as some kind of problem to be solved, because we're people and we need to be treated like people.
Cornett says leaders with Autistics United Kentucky plan to present their plan to legislators next month.
With the partial government shutdown dragging on and no signs of hope from Washington, Kentucky Utilities is trying to get out the word about programs that could assist federal workers who have been furloughed. KU spokesman Daniel Lowry says the utility company understands that the current situation is unusual.
You know, we try to help all of our customers who are having difficulty managing their bills, but this is definitely a unique situation that we know a lot of people are having to go through.
Lowry says anyone who fits the description should call 800-981-0600. They'll be asked to send proof of their government employment and the impact of the furlough. Lowry says the company will work with customers one-on-one.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is once again blaming Democrats for the partial government shutdown. Speaking on the Senate floor, the Kentucky Republican called the shutdown a political game. McConnell says building a wall isn't, quote, radical.
The physical barriers at the border that Democrats used to support in past Congresses and in the Obama administration have not somehow become radical right-wing positions.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, however, is taking aim at McConnell, saying it's time for him to, quote, move ahead without Trump.
Kentucky hemp advocates gathered together in Lexington on Saturday to celebrate the passing of the Farm Bill. The bill was signed by President Trump last month and removed hemp from the list of federally controlled substances. The event featured music, discussions about the applications of hemp, and even sampling of hemp-infused beer. Co-founder of the Kentucky Hempsters, Kristen Bonert, tells WKYT that before the Farm Bill, hemp farmers had no way to protect their crops.
The most important thing it does is it gives farmers a peace of mind. It allows them to get protection for their crops. That includes insurance. And before this bill was passed, they weren't allowed to do anything of the sort.
Kentucky Agricultural Commissioner Ryan Quarles says Kentucky is a natural home for industrial hemp and that many jobs could be on the horizon if members of the hemp industry and the Commonwealth's farmers team up.
Tonight we'll have partly cloudy skies and a low of 29. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high of 45. Tomorrow night will be cloudy with a low near 35. Thursday we'll have some early showers that span out throughout the day with a high of 45. Thursday night we'll expect some late showers with a low of 38. Friday will be cloudy with a high near 40. Friday night will be cloudy with a low of 34. Saturday has a 90% chance of rain and a high of 51. Taking a look at the current temperatures in our listening areas, it is 33 degrees in Ashland, 33 degrees in Inez, 31 degrees in Winchester, 31 degrees in Lexington, 31 degrees in Flemingsburg, and 31 degrees here in Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, new research suggests that large drops in income could contribute to premature death. Ohio News Connection's Mary Coleman discusses the link between the two.
Nearly one in three American households experiences a dramatic change in income each year, and new research reveals this volatility could have a serious impact on health. Researchers collected data over a 15-year period from nearly 4,000 people living in four diverse U.S. cities. Study author Tali Alfassi says they found a connection between unpredictable variations in personal income during young adulthood and an increased risk of heart disease or dying from any cause.
Fluctuations in income are actually very common. So almost 50% of the study population had changes in income, increases and decreases across the study period.
Alfassi notes that the largest income shifts were associated with nearly double the risk of death and more than double the risk for heart disease. The research also found high income volatility and income drops were experienced more by women and African Americans than white men. Alfassi says changes in personal income, especially drops in wages, make it difficult for families to cover regular expenses, pay down debt, or save for the future.
After you account for inflation, wages in the past 30 years have actually been relatively stagnant or even dropping. And there aren't that many mechanisms in place that really help families deal with the increased burden associated with these financial woes.
The study was observational and not intended to prove cause and effect. However, Alfassi contends that the health impacts of changes in personal income need further investigation.
In particular, stress has been hypothesized to lead to adverse events and cardiovascular disease. So if there are specific coping mechanisms that individuals or families might use to help them through these hard times, that's certainly something that we would want to look into.
The research was published Monday in the American Heart Association's journal, Circulation. Mary Sherman reporting for Ohio News Connection. This story was produced in association with Meeting the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
It's 4:47 and 31 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Naya and Weza, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this blustery Tuesday afternoon. Kinsey Thompson has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Morehead, Rowan County, and Morehead State University. More information at 784-1250.
The Rowan County boys hit the road tonight. Good afternoon. This is WMKY Sports. I'm Kinsey Thompson. The Rowan County boys basketball team heads to Russell tonight. Head coach Sean Thacker talks about tonight's opponent.
Russell's a team that has played some really good basketball, just not finished a lot of the games. They've been right in with everybody they've played. They've been right in it to the end. They just lost a lot of close games and came down to the fourth quarter, last 4 minutes, etc. So it's a team that's very capable.
The Vikings are 15-2 on the year, but have dropped two of their last three games. Russell comes in at 5-11 on the year. After tonight, the Vikings head to Lewis County on Thursday and then take on top 10 ranked Campbell County at the Coach Lake Kelly Classic in Fleming County on Saturday. Taking a look at other boys' high school action in the region tonight, Elliott County's boys face off with Fairview tonight at 7:30 for the 16th Regional All-A Classic. The Eagles took down Raceland in the first round of the tournament on Saturday, 50-46. The Lions are so far undefeated in regional play with a 13-2 overall record. Morgan County hosts Prestonsburg. The Cougars are looking for a win after falling in the final round of the Kentucky 2A Championship Sectional on Sunday. The Black Cats stand at 8-7 on their season. Game time is set for 7:30 in West Liberty. Fleming travels to East Carter tonight. The Panthers are coming off a 56-51 victory over Bath County on Friday. In spite of a 3-11 record, the Raiders grabbed a surprise win over Morgan County on Friday, 46-42. Also tonight at 7:30, Ashland Blazer hosts Rose Hill Christian, Boyd County hosts Lewis, and Montgomery is at Estill. In girls action tonight, Raceland and Elliott County face off at Fairview in the second round of the 16th Regional All-A Classic tonight at 6 p.m. The Lady Lions stand at 13-3 on the season, while the Lady Rams are 7-8. Morgan County hosts Lee County. The 2-14 Lady Cougars are hoping for a win over the 6-12 Lady Cats. Tip-off is set for 7:30 p.m. Montgomery County at Tates Creek, the Lady Indians are 5-15 on the season, while the Lady Commodores stand at 5-11. Tip-off in that matchup is set for 7:30 p.m. The Round County girls basketball team will be back in the gym on Wednesday to gear up for another tough road test. The Lady Vikings travel to Owensboro on Friday to take on Glasgow in the Kentucky 2A State Championship. Head coach Matt Stokes lays out his team's schedule for the week.
We'll get back in the gym Wednesday to, you know, really focus in on what we're doing, because we'll head out Thursday morning to Owensboro. And we'll get a practice in Owensboro for like 45 minutes. So really our big prep day is going to be on Wednesday to get ready for Glasgow.
Glasgow comes into the contest at 14-4 on their season. Tip-off from the Owensboro Sports Center is set for 11 a.m. on Friday. The number 12 University of Kentucky men's basketball team is headed to Georgia tonight in its second SEC road game of the season. A victory for the Cats tonight would be their 12th straight win against the Bulldogs, and they are already 126-26 all-time against Georgia. The Cats hit the road coming off a win against Vanderbilt last weekend, but Coach Calipari says they need to be ready because every team plays a different game.
Last game, he basically, they didn't even try to offensive rebound. I don't know how they got two. They got two offensive rebounds. Must have bounced right to them, because as soon as the guy shot, four guys were running that way, and the shooter ran that way. That was their game plan. Now you're playing Georgia. They send four guys to the glass. So you're now playing a team that's totally different. Good for us.
Calipari says when March comes, they never know what they're going to get, and his team needs to be prepared to play several different types of basketball and be challenged. The Morehead State University basketball teams are back in the gym this week, preparing for a doubleheader with Southeast Missouri on Thursday. MSU women's team is coming off an 85-62 win over Tennessee State on the road Saturday, moving the team to 2-2 in Ohio Valley Conference play. Coach Greg Todd says his team was excited to get back on a winning track.
Tennessee State's never been an easy place for us to get a win, and to be able to do it by over 20 points was nice, and it's really the first game in the four conference games that we've had everybody healthy.
Tip-off for Thursday's matchup is set for 5:05 p.m. That game can be seen on ESPN3. The Eagle men stand at 1-3 in conference play, coming off a 74-61 victory at Tennessee State Saturday. Southeast Missouri comes into Thursday's matchup with the same record in the OVC. Eagle coach Preston Spradlin says his team's attitude going into their weekend win made all the difference.
I was really pleased at halftime, and we told our guys what they were going to do. They weren't going to quit fighting and give them credit. Penny does a great job of his team playing extremely hard, and so our guys really found out what that meant to go against a team that's not going to quit and they're going to keep fighting. And so I thought we really executed tonight, which has been an issue for our club.
The Eagles match up with the Red Hawks at 7:30 on Thursday. You can watch that game on ESPN+. Both games will be broadcast on WIVY. The scent of burgers, fries, and victory wafted through the stately White House on Monday as President Donald Trump saluted college football's Clemson Tigers for winning the national championship. Trump, a fast food lover, said he even paid for their meal himself because of the partial government shutdown. He did not disclose the tab. Spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders said much of the staff in the White House residence has been furloughed because of the shutdown. An impressive and highly unusual White House smorgasbord greeted the players. Silver trays held stacks of wrapped burgers from Wendy's. Also on offer were boxed burgers from McDonald's, including Big Macs. White House cups bearing the presidential seal held the fries. The Clemson team's visit is its second since Trump took office. The Tigers last visited in June 2017 after their championship run the previous season. Trump has routinely sparred with professional athletes during his 2 years in office. College football has managed to avoid such political controversies, with last year's champion Alabama also visiting the White House. For WMKY Sports, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Southeast Missouri for an OVC doubleheader on Thursday. The women's game begins at 5:05 p.m. and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose as Netflix led a rally in tech-related names after news that the company would hike its monthly membership prices, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 155.75 at 24,065.59. The S&P 500 was up 27.69. at 2610.30, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 117.92, finishing up 1.75% on the day at 7023.83. Shares of Netflix jumped 6.5% after a report said the company would hike prices to its monthly membership by 13% to 18%, and this would be Netflix's biggest price hike since it launched its streaming service more than a decade ago. And Netflix's strength translated to strength in the rest of the tech sector, with Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google parent Alphabet all rising more than 2%. The major averages also got a boost as J.P. Morgan rose nearly 1%. This erased earlier losses. The stock initially fell after the banking giant reported lower than expected profit for the fourth quarter. The miss was J.P. Morgan's first in 15 quarters. Wells Fargo posted earnings that topped expectations. Sales did fall short of estimates. The bank also said it will operate under the Federal Reserve's growth cap for longer than expected. Other banks, including Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley, are scheduled to report quarterly earnings later this week. The Dow briefly traded lower earlier in the day amid worries about U.S.-China trade after Senator Chuck Grassley said today that U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer saw little progress in last week's talks with China. In the commodities markets, oil was up 3% at $52.07 a barrel. Gold was down 0.2% at $1,289.10 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were strong today, with the Stock 600 index up 0.3%. And in Asia, stocks were very strong, with the Nikkei up 1% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and Microsoft, and the worst performers were 3M and Home Depot. In the S&P 500, the best performers were First Republic Bank and Edward Life Sciences, and the worst performers were PG&E and Goodyear Tire and Rubber. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank up 9 cents at $25.46, Lowe's down 2.05 at $94.86, Anthem up $5.26 at $260.38, Marathon Petroleum down 56 cents at $64.32, Delta Airlines up 4 cents at $47.79, and Toyota was up 87 cents to finish at $126.26. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Thank you, sir.
There you go.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your regions, Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Moorhead, will host a book signing by author Charles Dodd White from 1 to 2 p.m. on Saturday, January 19th. The author will be signing copies of his latest novel, In the House of Wilderness.
Aaron Blevins will present a senior percussion recital at 1 p.m. on Sunday, January 20th, in the Duncan Recital Hall of the Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. The concert is free and open to the public.
The Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will sponsor a free film screening of God Knows Where I Am at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, January 22nd, in the conference room of the Rowan County Public Library. Based on personal journals, the film depicts a women's journey from independence. Everyone is welcome to attend. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Jacob Lindberg, Nacogdoches Miller, Wyatt Melton, Kenzie Thompson, Logan Pemberton, Chaz Jenkins, Haley Sidham, Cody Robinson, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment this afternoon comes from the Ohio News Connection's Mary Coleman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Naya Andweza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.